The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Zion Williamson is not in the NCAA Final Four. Does it matter? Duke with Zion Williamson is one of the most compelling television that you'll have in sports, and yet he is not going to be on the biggest stage. Instead, you've got a lot of cool stories, but you don't have Zion Williamson. Now, listen, when we talk ratings and what matters to television executives, I think for many of you out there, that just goes over your head. You watch what you watch, and I don't care how many other people are watching, right? Leave that to the people who need to know about that kind of thing. Leave that to the people that have to figure out the formula to make money off the advertising. And I always say this with sports. Don't tell me that a sports ratings are down. Don't tell me like NBA ratings are down 10%. Don't tell me NHL ratings are up by 3%. Don't tell me Major League Baseball ratings are up, down, sideways, side, you know, NFL, same thing. I don't care. If I like something, I watch it. And if I don't care if a majority of the population's watching it with me. I don't care if a majority of the population tuning out and I'm the only one tuning in. If they put it on TV and I like that particular sport and I like that particular matchup, I'm going to watch it. I don't really care what the ratings are. I leave that up to the people that need to kind of process that because they paid for the rights fees. Now, the only threat is if you're going to take it off my television because the ratings are so terrible that the event doesn't go back on. But that's nearly impossible. So when I hear people say, oh, boy, the executives so upset with Michigan State for knocking off Zion, he was a ratings monster. There's still great stories for the Final Four. There's still great basketball to be played at the Final Four. It's just not the biggest basketball that we've seen this season because Zion is not there. What does it say about Duke? We'll have that conversation coming up. Plus, it is April Fool's, one of the greatest sports pranks of all time. We'll revisit that coming up as well. It is all coming up as we continue to look at what we saw over the weekend in not only college basketball, but even larger than that, what we have coming up Saturday in the Final Four as we're about ready to crown a college basketball champion. It's all coming up, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Rolling along on a Monday. Glad you could be with us. I moved this weekend, and I'm not a young spring chicken, so moving furniture was a lot of work. Thank God I had some Blue Emu. Blue Emu is the best. Number one selling emu oil brand in America. No chill, no burn, no odor. Made right here in America. Unlike competitors, they don't use capsaicin, which is chili peppers, or menthol, which is the ingredient responsible for cold sensation. Muscle aches, Blue Emu. I had a lot of muscle aches this weekend, and Blue Emu did the trick. Trust me. It is the best. Again, the number one selling emu oil brand in America. And no chill, no burn, no odor. Blue Emu. Boy, that did come in handy. I hate moving. I'm so glad I'm not going to do that for a very long time now. God, there's nothing worse. Let me tell you a funny story. I was taking a television downstairs. Okay. So this big TV, my son and I were on both ends of this big TV. My son goes, I'll go down the stairs first. You know, I'm like, okay, great. So he starts going downstairs. But I'm holding it, and I can't hold on to it much longer, and he's angling it, and it's kind of like, it's uncomfortable. So I said, hold on. Let me put it down. So I put it down. But when I put it down on the first step down from the stairs. So I'm on the top of the stairs, and it's leaning on the bottom, on the stair, carpeted stairs, and it's kind of on an angle. And he's holding it, and he's waiting for me. And I realize, Ron, I'm not young enough to bend down so much that I can pick up something below my feet, let alone at my feet. So I could not pick up the television at all. And my son's like, what am I going to do now? I go, I don't know, but I can't get that. I can't bend down and get that for you. It's just going to have to stay there, I guess, until I figure this out. So I had to kind of like wiggle my way down and pick it up. I was like so embarrassing. His friend came over to help, and his friend's 6'11 and 280 pounds. Oh my God. His childhood friend.
He make it into the house?
It's like moving with a giant. It's like Andre the Giant. It's like moving with a giant.
Did you have special door for him to go into?
This kid, I wish. This kid picks up everything with like one hand. Like, you have, like, hey, that couch is heavy. He's like, oh, I'm sure it's heavy. He walks up to the truck with it. It was great. So I didn't have to take too much, but I still had to take enough. I'm done with that. It was a tough, tough weekend. So got the TV set up so I could watch hoops, though. That was the main thing. Make sure the TVs were good up at the house. I was thinking about Tony Bennett in Virginia in that game against Purdue. How do you talk to your team, the guys that are coming back, after you lose to a 16 seed the year before? How do you use that as motivation? How do you not wallow in the embarrassment that is that? The sort of in the history book moment of, guys, here's how this is going to work. If we don't do anything next year, you guys are always going to be known as the kids who lost at UMBC. But if we can do something, turn it into an exciting season, then people won't forget, but boy, they'll be like, what a rebound. Get kicked out of the tournament by a 16 seed, go on to win the national championship. Is that a better story than Auburn rallying around Chuma Okeke?
No.
I don't think so either. I'm trying to come up with something. Is Izzo's return to the Final Four a better story?
No, it's definitely a storyline, and, you know, it's... I mean, it's amazing to see how far they've came, you know, and I'm glad that they have, because, I mean, God, just imagine, especially if they had lost in the first round to Gardner Webb.
Oh God, and that looked like that could have happened.
Yeah, you and I were commenting that at that point, I think Virginia just needs to shut the program down.
We're done. Don't even try it
again. No more basketball for you guys. Just, you guys lose that as a sport. Well, men's basketball, anyways.
Well, that was the thing, right? If they had lost early in this tournament, or if something really had happened to them early, right? Like, let's say they didn't lose to Gardner Webb, but they lost in round two, right? All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. Then you start questioning, even though each year is supposed to be separate, each year is supposed to be different, right? Set apart on its own. That you don't want to give Virginia number one seeds anymore, right? No matter what they do during the regular season. You're like, you get nervous with them, right? Like, wait a minute. We turn this tournament on, and you guys don't show up. But now they're going to the Final Four. And if they win the championship, man, that's a pretty neat turn of events. That's a kind of a neat 54 weeks of that guy's life. Because you're the coach that you knew this was going to happen at some point. There was going to be a number one seed losing, right? But if you're in the coaching fraternity, you kind of hope it's Mike Krzyzewski, who's got so much success that if that had happened to him, you'd be like, oh, whatever. But it's Tony Bennett, who got to Virginia from Washington State. And Tony Bennett, who's got a defense that gives up like 54 points per game. Tony Bennett, very good looking guy, right? Sort of the poster, you know, poster coach, if you will. And all of a sudden, he's the guy that has to answer the questions about what's it like to have a number one seed. What's it like to have your season end like that? We've had two seeds go down. We've had three seeds go down. But we've never had a number one go down early. And now he becomes the guy that has to answer all of the questions. He's the guy that has to speak for every school. Oh, wait, there wasn't another school. So he only gets to speak for himself. He doesn't get to join a fraternity of teams that have gotten an early ouster in the first round by a 15 seed. He doesn't get to join a fraternity of teams that got taken out by a 3 seed. He's the only one in the fraternity of, I lost to a 16 seed. And then he's got to go into the next season going, all right, well, how do I do this with the kids who are still in the program? How do I do this to the juniors that are now seniors, to the sophomores that are now juniors, to get them on the same page that is not how we define ourselves? It's a great coaching job because you know those kids had to deal with that on campus. They had to deal with that from their peers. They had to deal with that from their family probably. It's not a badge you want to wear. Again, you're hoping somebody else wears it first, so if it happens to you, all of a sudden, okay, right? To use a similar analogy that I've used before, it's the 4-minute mile analogy. You're hoping if it happens once, it'll happen enough times that if it happens to you, it's not that big of a deal, but you don't want to be first. Whereas running the 4-minute mile, you do want to be first. And Tony Bennett has to wear that honor. Who knows? The next 16 seed that beats one might not happen for 25 more years. And he still is that guy. But if he wins a title, oh boy, that changes everything. I mean, it changes everything. So he's got a chance. I mean, oh goodness. If I'm in for pure entertainment value, I want Zion in this tournament. For pure entertainment value. But the reality of it, I like these storylines. I like that the Big 12 is represented by a Texas Tech team that still many of us don't know much about in their run to this tournament. Great defensive team, right? Jared Culver, you know, David Moretti. But Michigan State, a staple school, a tournament school, a Tom Izzo school. And, of course, the two schools that haven't been there in a long time in Virginia and Auburn that have got great storylines in and of itself. A school that's playing for a fallen athlete and a school that's playing for redemption of pride.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at it, even though you don't have the traditional blue bloods, you know, the schools that, you know, listen, all of our Final Fours probably look like with a Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky in there. I think we got a really good Final Four.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's kind of, I said earlier too, it's kind of refreshing to have some new faces there. And I absolutely love the fact that we have all four conferences represented.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it gives that feel that, okay, we may not be determining the best school in the nation, but we might be determining the best conference in the nation.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You know,
who
are the strongest conferences.
Exactly.
And that is kind of fun now because now you're playing for conference pride.
Yep. And that's cool, right? I mean, look, at the beginning, if the whole thing had gone chalk, you'd have three ACC teams in and a WCC school.
A what?
Right? Whatever that was. The West Coast Conference school.
Right.
Now you've got four of the Power Five conferences represented in this thing. I love it. It's fantastic.
And I think most people's brackets had two ACC schools in the Final Four.
I believe it did, too. I think I did.
I know I did.
I think I had North Carolina and Duke. Yeah, I think I left Virginia here. To the dust.
You know, my other two were Michigan and Tennessee.
Yeah.
I drank the Kool-Aid on Tennessee. I'll never do that again.
So don't bow out. I think I'm selling this tournament, this Final Four, a little hard here. But
no, but
don't bow out because Zion's not in it. Don't bow out because Big Blue Nation's not in it.
No, because here's the thing. There is still some really quality basketball yet to be played.
Yeah.
We said it from, you know, after the opening weekend that, you know what, this may not be, we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't get the buzzer beaters. We don't have a true Cinderella story because the only double-digit seed that was left was Oregon, and they're not really a Cinderella story. But we got really good basketball games. From the Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight, there were really good games. You know, to determine who the Final Four were.
Yep.
You can't be disappointed after this weekend.
No, I agree completely. It's been, and these games were so good this weekend. So good this weekend.
Close,
down exciting
to the wire.
Down
I
to
mean,
the
edge. Yeah.
But, oh, so Saturday night I was in a restaurant. And it's one of those restaurants that's got, you know, it's a sports bar-ish type of place. Good
of
burgers,
course.
Right? You know, I think my family, because we've been eating out a lot because of the move, we're not going to restaurants now. We're just like, where can we go get something quick? Like just quick burger, fries, or whatever, just get done. And like watching the Virginia Purdue game, right? Like people in the bar area, we're rooting on these teams. If you would have thought you were in West Lafayette or Charlottesville, like seriously, like that's what this does. I mean, part of it's bracket, but part of it's just, this is a good game and I'm into it and I'm cheering and I'm going nuts and I'm going crazy.
Or that, or, you know, when all of a sudden you look at it and your bracket doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
I was rooting for every single underdog at that point.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, I had
have some fun.
Pretty much when North Carolina lost in the Sweet 16, I was done. I was just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. My bracket is done. There's no chance of me catching up to anybody. Now I just want to see. I want to see all the upsets.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. So, all right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts? Does Zion matter? Did Zion's appearance in this matter? Does his disappearance matter? And how you view the Final Four? Maybe you don't care. Maybe you'll watch it no matter what. Or maybe, just maybe, you're like, nah, I wanted to see the best player. And you know what? Just wake me up and tell me who won. 800-777-2907. We'll continue thoughts about the college basketball. I want to get to LeBron, shutting it down for the rest of the season. That's coming up next. What it means for the Lakers. And what does it mean for the overall thought of this season with the Lakers? That's next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So LeBron James shutting down for the rest of the season. So a year in which the Lakers didn't really make a run for the playoffs. You know, LeBron's first year in Los Angeles. We didn't think he would be making a huge splash, but I got to be honest with you, it is disappointing that LeBron James and the Lakers didn't make the postseason. I want LeBron in the playoffs, even if it's an early exit. I want LeBron and the Lakers in the playoffs because I like the power of LeBron James. In a year where he played pretty well, but in the end, it wasn't enough. The Lakers didn't make it. But, and I'm not a little large picture here, and I'm not interested in super hyperbole. This doesn't touch LeBron James in one bit. It's just sad. It's just disappointing. This is a bad year. It's a bad year for a guy who changed teams. We saw LeBron James dominate the Eastern Conference forever. Think about this. The last time the Eastern Conference Finals did not have LeBron in it, or the Finals for that matter didn't have LeBron in it, was in 2010 when the Lakers and the Celtics matched up. And since that point, LeBron has taken the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers to the postseason every year. And now he's not even going to make the playoffs. Look, making the playoffs in the Western Conference was going to be difficult. Right? Right now, the two teams that are occupying the bottom of the Western Conference standings are San Antonio and Oklahoma City. Both have been struggling of late, but the Spurs actually went on a nice win streak to sort of put them in position. Then they kind of fell apart a bit. And Oklahoma City, something's not quite right. But nevertheless, the Lakers should still have been in that conversation. Well, but they never did. They never got there. The 18 games that were missed from December to January were bad, or 17 games that were missed in that time period were bad. But it's still, it shouldn't have been the end of the world. But it was. So look, legacy affected? No, that's silly. Because, you know, yes, should LeBron make the playoffs every single year? Yes. But this was a team we all knew wasn't going to be great. And, you know, but I never thought that they wouldn't make the playoffs. I thought they would. I really thought LeBron could have elevated that team enough. Not to be a 2 seed, not to be a 3 seed, none of that nonsense. But at least get in. That he was good for a number of wins added on to what the Lakers were already building before he arrived there, and that would propel them in. Yes, the injury hurt, but I didn't think it was going to be fall apart Lakerville. And you also had a year where a couple of things were evident, right? You go from Kevin Durant's comments about him back in the wintertime. You've also got the fact that publicly, you know, they were going after Anthony Davis. And publicly, there was reports of who was going to go. And then that deal didn't follow through. There's no question, right? There's no question we know what LeBron is going to do. He's building the Lakers into his team. And you got to knock some buildings down before you build them back up again. I get that. Right? I get that. But I still, I mean, call me naive, but I still thought he had some power to at least get the Lakers a bottom of the league, bottom of the Western Conference playoff standing berth into the postseason. And it didn't happen. Disappointed? Yeah, I was disappointed. I like LeBron in the playoffs. Look, to me, a Golden State-Laker matchup in the first round, even if it leads to a Lakers, a Golden State sweep, I still wanted to know what that was going to look like. But what if, and hear me out on this, Ron, what if he had gotten the Nuggets in the first round? Now, the Nuggets are a really good basketball team, but they do have vulnerability. What if LeBron James had gotten into the postseason where he drew the Nuggets in the first round and got the Nuggets, a 2 seed in the West, into some dragged out series where LeBron just basically carries the Lakers, does everything by himself, and he pulls that into like a 6-game series?
Yeah, man, because that's a team that he could probably do that against.
Right, exactly.
You know, maybe get an abnormal game from one role player. You know, to kind of help ease the load a little bit.
Let me ask you a question. In the changing landscape of the NBA, you still trust LeBron is able to pull together a team to win a championship in Los Angeles? 34 years old?
Are you saying non-super team, or the fact that he's going to create a super team over the summer?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you trust that LeBron still is able to do that? Create a super team. The team he wants, and that team is going to win a title.
Yes to the first. No, I'm unsure
super team,
on the
yes.
second. I think he can create a super team. I think he still has enough pull to say, you know, bring a Kawhi Leonard or, well, I think Anthony Davis is off the table now, but to bring in another player, a really good talent, you know, he may not be able to get true super team status where there's three amazing players. But I think he's going to be able to pull in another amazing player and then just have a bunch of good role players that help push him along. And I think by doing that, they will get into the playoffs next season. As far as winning a championship, the West is just way too tough.
Yeah, it is way too tough.
You still have the Warriors, and then you get these anomaly teams like the Nuggets that, you know, I still don't know who's on the Nuggets.
Remember, the problem with the Nuggets is exactly what you just mentioned. There's an identity issue there. Here's the deal. You could name a few Nuggets if you follow the NBA, but you still don't know exactly what they do. Like, what is it that they do well? Right? Do they run you out of the gym in mile high altitude? Well, that works. That works. I said this for years when I lived in Colorado. That mentality works for the Nuggets when a team is like, hey, we're going to be landing in Denver from Oklahoma City, and then we got this one game, and then it's back to Los Angeles, or we're going to L.A. after that, or we're going to Utah after that. So let's get this game out of the Nuggets. And then you run, and you're like, whew, hi. Yeah, Mile High. But in a series where a team shows up like 3 days in advance before game one and then game two isn't for another week and a half. I mean, my God, that doesn't work. It never worked for them. It never worked for them. All those years, whether it was Jeff Buzdelic who tried it when he first had Carmelo, to George Karl after that, it never worked in the postseason for that team. So I still don't know their identity. That would have been an interesting matchup if he got this Laker team somewhat together. Again, not perfect, still flawed, you know, still a team that needs a lot of work and needs overhauling. But if he had somehow grabbed them like he did the 2007 Cavaliers, but to be honest with you, the 7 Cavaliers I think were better. But if he took them and just dragged them into the playoffs and somehow they ended up with the Nuggets, he would have given Denver a scare. Because LeBron is one of those people that's like, you know what? I'll do everything. And I can do everything in the postseason. I'll grab this team kicking and screaming to the playoffs. But yeah, creating a super team, yeah, winning a title. We always said, stay in the East. Stay in the East. You own the East. Go to the West. You're going to be fighting James Harden, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook. You want to do that in the postseason? Well, maybe. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, bad, the dumb for a Monday, April Fools. All right, let's go with the good, Ron Culver. Don't trick me.
No, I'm not going to trick you. I can't do that to the good, the bad, the dumb. We got to be serious and take it seriously.
Serious about the good, bad, the dumb.
I know we've been harping on basketball all day long, and deservedly so. But my good of the day is that we finally got that head-to-head matchup we've been waiting for.
All right.
Tiger Woods versus Rory McIlroy.
I know. Saw that Saturday. I didn't get to watch it, but I missed it.
And it didn't disappoint.
That's what I heard.
It didn't disappoint. It was actually, I mean, Woods went up by a lot. Rory came roaring back. Pardon the ton, the pun. and you know, but eventually Woods did win, only to lose in the, you know, quarterfinals?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which quarterfinals.
Yeah, hey, Tiger, how about doing that at the Ryder Cup, okay, instead of the World Golf Play Champ, whatever it's called? How about the Ryder Cup that actually matters to people in the United States? Why don't you try winning that match when it counts every 2 years?
Exactly. I mean, they did this in weather that probably looked more like the British Isles.
By the way, you people in Austin, and I love Austin, I want to go to that course. Somebody help me get to that course because that looked great on television, and it's so hilly.
Yeah.
It looked like it was just this up and down hilly golf course. It looked great. Beautiful golf course on TV. Looked great.
But I got the alert and then I was like, oh, you know what? I better kind of look at this real quick.
Yeah.
And just kind of see. And it did. It had that, almost like that, you know, the final round of Masters feeling that we've been wanting these two to face off against each other, because Rory was, you know, the heir apparent to Tiger Woods when Tiger Woods was going through his
issues. Yeah, there was a moment Rory was winning everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really popping out the majors.
So yeah,
then he kind of stalled, but nevertheless,
we finally got it.
Yeah, that's right.
The bad of the day is Mother Nature.
Yes. Mother Nature.
Mother Nature's cruel joke that she's playing on us on April 1st.
Okay.
I know in your area, you had a bit of an issue with Mother Nature.
I did. I had a tornado hit my town on Saturday.
In April.
And we were all, at that point, we were all in different locations, and then it disappeared. Can I tell you something? I was in the restaurant, and everybody's phone went off at the same time. You know how scary that is?
Yes.
When everybody's phone goes off. You
can only imagine. I mean, I haven't had it where I was in a public place, but I mean, just the fact that, you know, my wife and I's phone will go off at the same time is freaky.
Picture one of those like disaster movies, like where, you know, it's like whatever it is, right? And then the siren is going off. Like we're in the restaurant and the siren is going off. All right. Now, normally we go, okay, they're just being cautious. It's not a tornado. And then everybody in the restaurant, beep, beep, beep. Everywhere And everybody's looking at their phone, and everyone's like, oh, my God, what do we do? Do we leave? Do we not leave? Do we stay? Do we, you know, and it's just freaked everybody out. But nevertheless, go ahead.
Yeah, so you have that going on in Tennessee. Down right. here in Houston, we are dealing with freezing temperatures.
Same here. It's freezing cold here.
I mean, I woke up this morning, and I'm like, God, you know, got to bring out the winter garb. And on Friday, I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. So it's Mother Nature's cruel, cruel April Fool's prank, I believe. And that's what's bad. But it gets worse.
All right.
There is a story that came out, and I will try to put this as delicately as possible. There are reports that global warming could be melting 66 tons of frozen feces left by climbers on Denali in the coming decades, starting as soon as this summer.
Okay, wait a minute. So people use the restroom climbing the mountain.
Yep.
That waste freezes.
Obviously.
It becomes frozen and it's no big deal to anybody.
Nope.
And then global warming is actually like, nah, let's drag this back up from the pit of hell.
Yep.
It was sent to.
Yep. 66 wow. tons.
Wow.
First of all, I'm impressed that they were able to even measure this and that
yeah,
the
no
fact
kidding.
That, I mean, come on, let's be real. 66 tons, that's a lot of pounds.
I'm not trying to be Bill Nye the science guy here, but is global warming really going to be melting mountaintop poo?
Well, it's melting the glaciers.
Okay, if that's...
And that's in which the poo is trapped okay, in.
In the glacier. Because people in the Arctic did that.
It's Mount Denali in Alaska. They okay. just, you know, they go hiking up there, and when you're climbing the mountain, hey, nature calls, you got to go.
Now, this is not... could global warming get a point where, you know, those bodies that are on like Mount Everest? Could global warming create a problem for that?
They could start, those bodies could start thawing out, moving places. So we all know there's that one body that is actually a marker on Mount Everest.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it's, it's like a famous one. That's how they know, like, okay, we reached this body. We know we have this much more feet to go.
God.
And, yeah, global warming could wreak havoc on those bodies as well.
That's always freaky to me. That is so freaky to me that you could climb Mount Everest, die, and they just have to leave you there.
Yep.
They can't get you. That's so dangerous.
And
they don't bury you.
They don't get buried. They don't dig a grave
You're
for you.
You're climbing Mount Everest. They're like, here's five people that didn't make it. And then you just pass them. That's what happens. They're still in their gear.
Maybe, if you have a 40, you pour some out for them as you walk by them. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know what you do. But if global warming affects that, that's not good.
Well, I guess my main issue with this is, I know it's in colder climate. It's a colder air temperature up there, so you probably have your face covered. But I imagine it's going to start to reek.
I can only imagine.
You know, if it's true, in fact, of 66 tons while you're climbing Denali, that's what you're passing or walking on top of 66 tons. I mean, I got to think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of climbers going, nah, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I'll pass. I don't need a scaled Denali.
Well, thank you, Mother Nature.
You have Mother Nature's cruel April Fool's Day jokes.
All right, let's go with the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. I don't know if you saw this story, but the MLB, Major League Baseball, will be issuing a WWE-style championship belt to the team that spends the lowest amount in arbitration.
I saw something about this on Twitter, so go ahead with this.
Basically,
I thought this was kind of a joke.
Yeah, it's not a joke. It's not an onion story.
So it's not April Fool's joke, right?
Not April Fool's joke. They literally will be issuing a wrestling. I don't know if it's going to be a wrestling looking type belt, but that's what I'm imagining when they say belt.
Yeah.
In any event, it's an award for the team that spends the lowest on arbitration. So basically, how many people can we sign ahead of time before we get to that point? Which we're kind of starting to see because all these players are signing extensions left and right, getting their money now before they even get to that point where they do become a free agent or, you know, when those talks start happening.
Can't they just get a certificate or a plaque? Like, do they really need a belt?
It's going to be like a plastic style belt, I imagine, right?
I don't think
the MLB's not going to come with, you know, jeweled out, gold plated, diamond-studded belt.
Give the belt to the team that does statistically the best in free agency or something. Like, I do some, but this sounds weird. This doesn't sound like something you'd be happy about as a fan. What, like your team won a belt because it won its arbitration cases.
It sounds like what it reminds me of is Grandpa trying to be hip.
Might be the best way to put that. Yes.
Giving something that he thinks is cool to you, but you're like, Grandpa, and you know, it's the idea is cool, but the execution, not so much.
Like Werther's original candies.
Yes.
Right? Like, whoa, okay. Like Bitto honey. Nobody likes Bitto honey, but Grandpa does. Maybe he thinks you like it too. A WWE-like belt for arbitration. Well done. That's weak. That's weak.
I just can't wait for...
That's legit, right? No April Fool's joke?
No, it's not April Fool's. I mean, again, I looked at the story and thought for sure, you know, hey, this has got to be... This has onion written all over it.
Yeah, this is one of those days you got to be really careful.
Yeah, no, this came out before April Fool's Day because, you know, I had a weekend to look for these stories. And I just kept coming back to them and was like, I can only imagine... An MLB owner, and I'm sorry, I can't think of too many MLB owners off the top of my head right now, but I can only imagine one of them, you know, being presented the championship belt and he just holding it above his head, giving a press conference, giving a speech.
Oh, right. Exactly.
that's the only thing going through my mind when I'm looking at this, like, you can't do this. Just acknowledge, like, hey, congrats to the Marlins, because I'm going to point out the Marlins. I mean, can you imagine Derek Jeter holding a WWE-style belt over his head because the Marlins spent the lowest on arbitration?
Yeah, and then he would immediately sell that to try to get rid of
the belt.
Potential all-stars. That he'll be like, I will give you two potential MVPs and the belt for a draft pick and two minor league pitchers.
That no one's ever heard of,
right,
that have no potential at all.
Christian Yelich, by the way, had a two-run double to beat the Cardinals. He is killing it already.
Yeah.
And every day, Derek Jeter should be reminded that he traded that guy.
Yeah, four home runs in four games.
He should be reminded of that every day by somebody. There should be some sort of social, either people standing outside of his office or going to Jeterville in Tampa or whatever it is, and reminding him that he got rid of Christian Yelich. Yep. That should at least be part of his post-career legacy.
How happy is Christian, by the way?
Oh, looks like he's having more fun than he's ever had before.
You go to a team that actually is a contender. If he was with the Marlins after Derek just sold everyone, he'd be so miserable down there.
No kidding.
I mean, he would own Miami, but he would be so miserable.
Yeah. I mean, my God. That is so awful. It's so unbelievable. All right, that's very good. Good and bad dumb for your April 1st. We've already crossed over into the new calendar. All right, coming up, some stories you need to watch out for on April 1st because they pop up every year. That's next, SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. This time of year, we get a lot of heavy rain and crashes from cars hydroplaning. Hydroplaning is when your tires lose traction by skipping across the water. Now, people think that tires have tread on them for better traction. Now, if that was true, dragsters that depend on traction wouldn't have slick tires. Your tire tread is there to channel away water so you don't hydroplane. The faster you go, the better chance to hydroplane and crash from loss of control. Thin tire tread, low tire pressures, and high speeds all add your hydroplane chances because the tire's tread can't channel the water away fast enough. Now, the puddle doesn't have to be very deep to cause a crash. So, folks, when you see water puddling on the road or just heavy rain, slow down. If you're not sure about your tires, stop at a tire store. Have them check the tread and the pressures. This is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Each spring, we lose an hour of sleep in the name of daylight savings time. But who needs rest when you've got a new Jeep SUV? Come in to the Jeep Freedom Days sales event now for great deals that more than make up for 60 minutes of not snoozing. Go anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler, Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. Travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Take in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. and push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's 31 MPG highway. So hurry in for great deals at the Jeep Freedom Days sales event, or you'll miss out on more than just an hour of rest. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so today is April Fool's Day. And just a reminder, there are going to be a couple of stories that will probably pop up today. Don't fall for them, okay? Zion Williamson is not returning for his sophomore year at Duke. Well, this actually could be true. Tom Brady is not announcing his retirement. Let's see. What are some other sports stories that could pop up today, Ron, that could make us go, oh, wait, that could be real. Oh, no, wait. Oh, it's April Fool's. Let's see.
Robert Kraft sells the Patriots.
Tiger Woods is not, as we know of, injured. Let's see. Major League Baseball is not going to start next season in the North Pole. Although, I don't know about that one. That actually could take place. They might actually have an exhibition game in the North Pole next year to kick off the season. So if you see that one on your timeline, that might be believable. Let's see here. Tony Bennett of Virginia is not going to resurrect a singing career with Tony Bennett, the singer. That's probably not going to happen, so don't fall for that one either. Let's see. The Yankees are not going to trade Aaron Judge for prospects. That's not going to happen. So don't buy into that. Don't retweet this stuff too. Be careful today. Just be careful. It's a dangerous, dangerous world on social media. Lord knows we have to deal with this on a regular basis, don't we? With false news that kind of prevails, let alone April Fool's Day. So don't fall for it. Especially the Zion Williamson one. I got a feeling that one will probably go, be running around.
Oh, that one.
Zion's decided he wants to come back. Zion wants to play for Duke again. He wants to finish what they started. Oh,
redemption.
Everybody's going to get psyched up, and then everybody forgets the calendar day. Oh, of course not. That's not going to happen. Seriously, on a serious note, though, this has got to crush Mike Krzyzewski that they didn't win a title. That was a great team. Really good looking basketball team. And now they're done. Now it's over. They didn't get anything out of it except for this lousy t-shirt. And Zion Williamson's busted up shoe.